we interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, March 27 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 2 hours, we got you, bringing you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios. There's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Huge guest list today. I'll keep you apprised of that. At the end of this segment, I'll let you know the Louisiana legend that's coming on in our very next segment. We'll talk college basketball. Of course we will, as we get closer to LSU-Michigan State. And to end the program today, how about an inside look at the 2019 edition of the Houston Astros? All of that is coming your way, but I have to lead off with a tale of two very different nights in college baseball on either side of the basin. You want to jump in? Your concerns for LSU? Perhaps some optimism surrounding UL? We got time for you in the opening segment. 706-0111, the number to play in the sandbox. We'll start with the night that didn't go so hot. LSU loses 2-0 to McNeese State. And now we know, on deck, as in tomorrow, no rest for the weary. LSU at the Dude, love the name of that place. They're going to take on number 2 Mississippi State on the road. And what did they do last night? They lost their third straight game. They managed just 4 hits. The top 5 in the order for Paul Maneri went 1-17. LSU losing midweek games is never a reason to jump off the Basin Bridge. Ever. It's just not. You can't get up in arms about it, and I'm not going to do that today. But the result of last night's loss, I think, could serve as a galvanizing moment. Could. Not sure yet if it will. But following the ball game last night at Alec Box, how about a 16-minute players-only meeting in right field? The pegged leaders, at least so we learned after the game, the guys that you would expect, right? Usual suspects in the leadership department. Josh Smith, Zach Hess, Antoine Duplantis, Lafayette High's own, and Clay Moffitt. And they made references to that big intimidator screen that you always see out above right field. They look at the championships, and this team isn't anywhere near that. Despite the players who had a chance to go pro and came back. Despite the prodigious arms that came into the program this year. The big takeaway quote, and we'll give the credit here to Chris Reed from what I have gathered. This is LSU, and we don't deal with mediocrity. Well, I'll tell you right now, they're mired in it. A loss in the midweek to McNeese State, again, you try not to overreact. I do this show every day. And so we have to dabble in some hot takes, but here is a more measured take that I will share with you. LSU is woeful on the road this season, and the hitting is a bigger problem than the pitching because the hitting ain't injured. The hitting doesn't have arm soreness. The hitting has a top 5 that should be just about as good as anybody in college baseball. And I know, before the season, if I'd have told you Chris Reed was batting cleanup, you'd say, wow, they must be struggling. No, in fact, he's probably their most consistent hitter. And he's sandwiched in the midst of Smith and Watson and Duplantis and Cabrera. So again, 1-5 should rival anybody else in the sport. They went 1-17 last night. So where the hell is the inspiration? It's not there against McNeese? Okay, fine. You'll get a different MSU this weekend, a very different challenge. Can you respond to it? Because what I'll tell you is taking 2-3 at the Dude wipes out what happened last night quick, fast, and in a hurry. But we're slowly creeping up on the point where it might be a little cavalier to say LSU will turn it around. LSU always turns it around. Could they get the ship going in the right direction? Find their way to, I don't know at this point, 17 wins in the SEC? Sure. But we know it takes 20 to be a national seed. How good do they want to be? Because I think we all know how good that they can be. So a downer last night in Baton Rouge and three straight on the wrong, tally to the wrong side of the win-loss column. Let's go to UL, because there were happy times in South Louisiana. Of course, I suppose at Lake Chuck, they were just fine with the result last night. But smack dab in the middle at the Teague, UL, 7-6 winners over Tulane. And CD, you were there. I think it was March 13, the last time the Cajuns had a walk-off home run.
Yeah.
You had a different hero last night. But March 13, I think you enjoyed that one.
Oh, I enjoyed that one. But I feel like I enjoyed when I wound up watching the end of that ball game last night on CST. And it's amazing kind of see how Colton Frank, a guy, his first career hit at that. And first pitch he sees, bottom nine, and just absolutely mashes it. I'm sure Dan McDonald was like, let's go home. We can't top that.
They put the young man in the eighth inning. He had two putouts in the outfield. And the game-winning home run, as Clint mentioned, his first collegiate hit. And how about this? Hard to do. The Cajuns won last night despite being out-hit 15-8. And so the defense last night for UL had to do some yeoman's work. And they had to get some timely pitching because at times it wasn't very good. It did start that way. Jack Burke, four outstanding innings to begin. And in relief, first win of the season for Michael Lomont. And you did have some streaking Cajuns provide offense. Again, you score seven runs. I don't care who you're playing in South Louisiana. That's an accomplishment. Todd Lott, the senior, most notably, 2-for-5 with two ribbies. He's got a nine-game hit streak. Not to be outdone. Terlings Catholic's own Hayden Cantrell, not resting on his laurels. As the reigning Sun Belt Conference Player of the Week, he extended his hit streak to 14 last night. So while LSU is about to go to Mississippi State, and there's a horrible taste, you just got castor oil caked in the gums and everywhere in your mouth right now, UL, perhaps a little bit of a shot of life. After all, they get to go to Troy this weekend. It's not easy to win on the road in collegiate baseball. We know that. But the Trojans are 1-5 in Sun Belt Conference play. So there is an opportunity to be had. Are the Cajuns ready to seize it? Can they get pitching consistently? They're going to have to do it, I think we know at this point, without Gunnar Leje manning the Friday spot. Can they build off of this win without Leje? That will be the operative question. So LSU, losers last night in BR. They got a chance to make a much bigger statement in Stark Vegas. The Cajuns win at home, dramatic fashion. Congrats to freshman Colton Frank. Now, what are you going to do with it heading to Troy? I'll tell you what we're going to do. As we head toward our first break of the program, we're getting ready for a sit-down with Randy Livingston. You heard me right, and I'm very excited about that. You should be as well. He's in the news for this reason. The former Isadore Newman basketball star, and truly, I mean objectively, one of the two or three best prep basketball players to ever come out of the Pelican State. Randy Livingston, it was announced yesterday, has taken the head coaching job at Isadore Newman. And so, sure, there is at least a little bit of tie-in because, well, we got local programs that might just run across the greenies come the state playoffs, but that's not why we're having him on. Yeah, we want to know, how did this man, a basketball playing legend who has coached at LSU, who has coached head coach, assistant in the NBA D League at the time. He's been overseas in Australia where, trust me, he's a legend. I covered LSU basketball recruiting very closely when they brought in Darcy Malone, when they brought in, obviously, Ben Simmons, when they at least had a flirtation with Dante Exum. Randy Livingston was there for all of that and more. And so he's had this very circuitous path, and the next step in his journey is to do what a lot before him have done. Kevin Falk comes to mind. Karen Crow, and now at LSU. I don't know that this is a stepping stone opportunity for Randy Livingston, but we're going to ask him all about it. Plus, the cool thing about having him on, we get to pick his brain on the AAU scene. Not only did he go through it as a very highly recruited player, not only is he a high school head coach now, but he also leads up the Fleur-de-Lis AAU program on the Nike EYBL circuit in Louisiana. So everything that's happening right now surrounding Will Wade, college basketball, he's lived it. How do we fix it? And we'll also ask him about LSU's chances against Michigan State in the Sweet 16. You can't miss it. Randy Livingston coming up on the other side of this break at 4:30, our weekly chat with Brian Snow. 24/7 Sports, he's a college basketball recruiting analyst. Who does he like left standing in the Sweet 16? And at 5:45, we're going to Houston, but we don't have a problem. It's Brian McTaggart, MLB.com. The Astros' rotation, the bullpen, the latest on Correa and his injuries. We're going to get all that for you and more as the Stros begin the 2019 season tomorrow at Tampa. How about that matchup? Justin Verlander and Blake Snell. So do not go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Anytime you get a chance to lead off with your best foot forward, you got to do that. So we got a great guest to help us open up today. Back in, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And let's head out to New Orleans aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Announced recently, he is the new head coach at his alma mater, Isidore Newman. The Greenies in New Orleans, it's former LSU great Randy Livingston. Randy, thanks for coming aboard and congrats on the new job.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, it's been a whirlwind day since the announcement, but I'm super excited about, you know, what's in store, what I have in store at Newman, and, you know, just going back home, it's a great feeling.
Well, we'll get to LSU basketball in the Sweet 16, but let's talk about your path and your journey, because we know you've coached at the AAU level, the college level, professionally, and did some great work with scouting over in Australia. So if you don't mind, talk to us about your path in New Orleans, what brought you back home, and how you got in this seat today?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put my life on anyone from being a journeyman career NBA player, but I learned a lot of valuable lessons played for a lot of great coaches, and Jerry Sloan, Pat Riley, Nate McMillan, just to name a few. But, you know, basically, after I retired in 2007, I started coaching right away with the Idaho Stampede under Brian Gates, who coached with the Pelicans for a little bit as assistant coach, and I was assistant coach in Sacramento. After that, the Maine Red Claws, which is a G League affiliate of the Boston Celtics, run by Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge, started a team that asked me to come be Austin Ainge's assistant coach there. So I did that for 1 year, which was a great experience. And then from there, the Boise people basically said, we're not going to let you get away. They brought me back to be the head coach of the franchise for 2 years, from 2011 to 2013. At that point, I had a very close call of getting on with the San Antonio Spurs with Popovich and his staff, but he wound up high on Emeka Udoka, who played for him. And, you know, it was a good experience going through that interviewing period and all that stuff. So from that point on, I moved to Australia with my wife. She had a couple projects to do. I was out of a job at the time, so I, you know, had some time and basically went over and got indoctrinated in Australian and New Zealand basketball. And so Ben Simmons, Dante Exum, coached a lot of kids at the Adidas Nation. So I did pretty much grassroots in Adidas, for Adidas in that region, and had a lot of success. And then in the process started a scouting service that was NCAA approved. So I got to evaluate a lot of talent and still coach and be around high-level basketball. From that point on, Johnny Jones had an opening. He brought me in, and, you know, that didn't go as well as I would have liked to, but it was a great experience to just get indoctrinated in college basketball, learn the ropes. And then after that, unfortunately, he got let go. They let the staff go, and I took a year to kind of evaluate what I wanted to do. and the Newman situation came up along with a host of other D-League and college jobs, but, you know, I felt like this was the best for me right now.
Randy Livingston, our guest, and the new head coach at his alma mater, Isidore Newman, in New Orleans. What's appealing to you, Coach, about getting back to your high school roots? What do you like about the job that you're taking on now?
Well, the most important thing is there's a lot of familiarity. Athletic director Patrick Summerall was maybe a couple years younger than me, and then the headmaster, Dell Smith, who was the assistant coach when I was playing there. So that familiarity is good. Anytime you all can be on the same page as athletic director and head of school, you know, that's great. But for me, it's just about impacting kids, you know, and for me, I have an opportunity to do that on the high school level where I can spend time, room, and grow with young men and help them become, you know, better people for society and the community. And hopefully, you know, some of them get a chance to play basketball beyond high school. But that's, at the end of the day, that's what was, you know, intriguing to me, and that ultimately won me over on being able to go back home and being able to give back.
I thought it really was an outstanding story from Garland Gillen over at Fox 8 in New Orleans, and he caught up with Cooper Manning. You are coaching his son now, and he was part of an undefeated middle school team that feeds into Newman. So I'd love for you to give us a little bit of the background story there and what it's like coaching the kid of somebody that you played with in high school.
Well, it was funny because I was kind of reluctant to come in because I had so much respect for Coach Tillett, and I know just my presence around with, you know, big questions, but it was a great experience to do the middle school this year because I got to see the basketball program and be back on campus for a year, kind of fly on the wall, if you want to say. But the middle school basketball team was great. The coach, not only Arch Manning, but we had a kid by the name of Will Randall on the team. I played with his son, John, with his dad, John Randall, at Newman. You know, that was a treat just to be there, but it also gave me an idea that the cupboard's not bare. We got a good young foundation of talent and kids that, you know, if they continue to work hard, you know, the future's bright. So it was great coaching Arch, and he's going to be a stud in football, playing quarterback probably this year on the varsity. But he's a heck of an athlete and a good basketball player, too.
We got a few more minutes with Randy Livingston. Good enough to give us some time today on 103.7 The Game. And I was excited to have you on for a few other reasons as well, Coach. We see so much that's going on with grassroots basketball now, and some of the storylines aren't good. But I would ask you this. From your personal experiences back in the early 90s until today, have things changed for the better? Have they changed for the worse? I guess, what are your observations of AAU ball then and now?
I don't know if it's necessarily changed for the worse. I think whatever's been going on has been going on since the beginning of time. So, and you've had a lot of successful players, you've had a lot of successful coaches. I think where it gets cluttered a little bit when some people cross the line, and that's with any profession. And I think some people have crossed it in a way that, you know, it's no looking back. But then you also, you know, have to add the age of social media. You know, that's changed a lot. You know, you got kids who are getting so much attention and getting so much, you know, thrown at them at an early age. There's always going to be the temptation for a poor kid or somebody that's in need of some help or assistance to, you know, get caught up in all of the obvious things that are wrong with college basketball. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's still producing high-level kids that's coming out of the AAU program. And what people don't really understand, and I think this is where it is with everything, even with the kids, and everybody wants a piece of the pie. So the kids want a piece of the pie nowadays, and that's what they're screaming for. The coaches get their share of the pie, but AAU coaches, they're doing this voluntarily. And so sometimes I think, you know, that temptation to get involved with some of the situations that was going on in terms of money exchanging, you know, it's kind of tough. But you do have a lot of great AAU coaches out there that just in it for the getting the kids better, and kids do get better, and kids do get exposure. Kids do get an opportunity to play Division I basketball or Division II or NAIA. So I think from that standpoint, you know, it still does its services, and that's what, you know, I do with my AAU program, and that's what I've always done, because that's always how I've seen it. But obviously you're going to have some rogue programs, or you're going to have some rogue coaches that take advantage of the system. The system definitely is broken, though.
Randy Livingston giving us some real talk here, and you need to follow him on Twitter at RealCoachLiv. That's RealCoachLIV. All right, we got to talk now about LSU basketball. They're into the Sweet 16. Obviously, you've coached this program here recently. What do you make of their chances going up against the perennial power in Michigan State?
Well, I said from the beginning of the SEC tournament how LSU finished the season, they really go as Tremont Waters go. I know they have athleticism, bigs, they have shooting, they're athletic, they can do a lot of things, so they're always going to be a handful of people. But if he makes solid decisions at the end of the games or throughout the games, LSU will be tough to beat versus anyone in the NCAA field because they have that type of talent and they have good kids. And they've been through a lot this year, not only with the Will stuff, but, you know, Wade Sims, you know, being murdered. You know, that's tough on any young kid. So I think it's brought them together, and even the coaching situation has kind of galvanized them a little bit. They know it's just them against the world, and they've taken on that mentality.
Coach Randy Livingston, now leading his alma mater, Isidore Newman, in New Orleans. Touched on a lot of topics today. Coach, again, congratulations. The people of Acadiana appreciate the time. Best of luck to you.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate everything.
Not a bad way to be on a hump day. That was a lot of fun. And the answer for me on AU basketball, I said real talk earlier, I'll reiterate that now. The system is definitely broken, but the outliers, they're existent, right? They're there in just about any industry. Somebody who wants to step outside of where they should be, and it could jeopardize everything for everybody. It'll be interesting to see how long the shoe companies stay, in the pockets of, stay funding, really, these grassroots basketball programs. But I love that from Randy Livingston. And I can tell you this, our listeners here in Acadiana, you're going to see a lot of local kids go play for his Fleur-de-Lis AAU team. And you heard him mention the fact that he runs his team a certain way. I know for a fact that Keon Coleman, and boy is he good, out of Opelousas Catholic, as well as Joe Charles, ditto on the really good part from Karen Crow, I believe are set to play for Randy Livingston in that Fleur-de-Lis AAU program. So I hope we'll be having more conversations down the road with one of the brightest stars that Louisiana prep basketball has ever seen. Pretty cool right there. Our thanks to Randy Livingston. When we return, we're going to talk hoops with another hoop head, Brian Snow, all in on March Madness. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll bounce right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Getting to Minnesota. I'm not talking about finishing second. Who's cutting down the nets April the 8th? Call us. We got time. 706-0111. CD, you're up first.
I got to stick with my guns here and go with the team that I picked right from the jump and go with UNC. I think they're still the best team right now in this tournament and do kind of show their colors a little bit in the UCF game. I know we did our power rankings on Monday, but I still feel like you're going to wind up seeing UNC cut down the nets before it's all said and done. And again, I'm just looking at it based off of historical things where they, when they don't win the ACC title, they win the national title at the end of it.
Not bad. Not bad. We got time for more. 706-0111. We'll update all the Twitter and Facebook responses shortly as well. But here's one very important point to make right now. We re-ranked the Final 16, and we did that based on form and how they look to us, or kind of how they feel. You listen to this show, you know that I call it the bowling ball test, right? This is different because this takes into consideration the path and who you have to go through. I picked Duke before this thing started. What I feel pretty confident in telling you right now is that I think whoever comes out of the East is going to win the national championship. That's what I feel pretty comfortable in telling you today. And yes, that includes LSU. I don't think Virginia Tech is going to have what it takes. In fact, with their head coach being very closely linked to the Texas A&M job, I don't know that that plays as big a factor as having to beat Duke and then maybe Michigan State or LSU the next round, but he can't be good. I don't take Virginia Tech as seriously in that East Regional, but I think that the winner of that one takes it down. Here's kind of what I think is important to note at this point. Yes, I think North Carolina is probably showing the best face right now. I had them re-ranked as the number one team left in the Sweet 16, just based off of form. And I do think they'll take care of Bruce Pearl and Auburn in a couple of days. And I think that North Carolina will beat either Houston or Kentucky. So I love UNC in many. But at that point, I don't know if I would take them to beat Virginia, Purdue, Tennessee, and then after that, somebody like a Duke, somebody like a Michigan State. To me, the region that is least likely to produce the national champ is the West. Gonzaga, Florida State, Texas Tech, and Michigan. A lot of teams that can make great runs to the Final Four. I don't think they're going to make a great run through the Final Four. So I know I'm copping out. I'm telling you, who wins the East will win it all in Minneapolis. I don't think it'll be Virginia Tech. So one of three teams for me, Duke, LSU, Michigan State. And a la Clint's logic, I'll stick with the team, I guess, that I started with. I picked Duke to win it all. They didn't show a very good effort. They weren't locked in and focused at all times, especially when they had leads in the second half against UCF. But we've seen countless champs over the year in this tournament format do the exact same thing. I mean, they just drive that vehicle right up to the precipice, don't they? They go right to the edge. They almost fall over, but you know what? Then they don't, and then they win it all. So it wouldn't be surprising if Duke rebounded and did just that. But I think that LSU and Michigan State have one heck of a chance. Could you imagine? On either side. I mean, if LSU beats Michigan State, plays with that type of confidence against Duke, and frankly, Duke's probably a better matchup for LSU than Michigan State is stylistically. Could you imagine the confidence LSU would be playing with if they got to Mini? So it's not impossible, and we'll keep taking your pulse right now. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, who's your favorite to cut down the nets?
Gonzaga. I've always liked them, and I think they got a good coach, so Gonzaga. But as far as for your ladies' night thing, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I know you're there for the half-price beer. Matter of fact, you'd be there for the full-price beer. So I don't think it's too much of a ladies' night thing going on with you. You know what I mean? But
I do know what you mean. And, you know, look, the full scoop is simply this. We have a family friend who's coming in town. She wanted to go somewhere where we could catch a drink and get some good flatbread. And we said, well, that's really, really easy. We're going to the tap room. It just kind of happens to be ladies' night. I'm not going to fight that. It just happens to be ladies' night, T.
Hey, I got you. Hey, I got a question, Ben.
Hit me.
One of my buddies asked me this today. Is there any communication between Benford and Will Wade as far as for on cell phone or whatever about coaching or game planning? I'll hang up and listen, man. Love your show.
That's a really good question, and I don't think any of us will really technically know the answer to it. I'd be shocked if there weren't communication. It would blow my mind. Because there's nothing really illegal about that. I mean, is Tony Benford going to get in trouble with Principal Oliva because he's communicating with a guy that's suspended? I'll put it to you this way. I am quite certain that Oliva, F. King Alexander, probably would love if Wade had some indirect influence and fingerprints on the game plan of this team going into the Sweet 16. I'm sure that they would encourage that. If they could talk to Wade, they'd probably still encourage that. But they're not talking to Wade because he ain't talking to them. It's a really good question, T. I'd be shocked if Benford weren't talking to Will Wade in some capacity. There's nothing wrong with him doing that. It doesn't put him in the path of LSU, the NCAA, or the FBI's wrath. So I'd be shocked if that weren't happening.
Yeah, I believe they were talking. I know they talked after the selection show, kind of just a see how Will Wade felt about the seating and all that. I know he talked about that.
Just an unofficial conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, Will. What's going on, man? Watching Netflix, bro? You saw we're in the tournament?
Yes.
That's cool. I'm quite certain they're having conversations that are a little deeper than that. All right, let's update the social media. Then I got a word that I'm honing in on. In fact, it's one final word for this hour. Before that, Nick, he's giving us the Ed Ogeron meme. We coming. All right, we know where his heart lies. Mike, I am all in with LSU. Ben has a great picture of Emmett Williams roaring like a lion. So we got some LSU votes, no doubt. JJ says Duke. Braden gives us Ramsey the Ram. Clint, you know who that is now, you cheater. And Sage says Duke as well. So we've got a lot of response. We'll collect some more on the other side of this hour break. Now, about that whole final word thing.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Urgency. One thing you're probably not thinking about. Alabama filled its vacancy very quickly and with a great up-and-coming head coach today. LSU, I know they're on a run. I know there's some that want to know about Benford going from interim to full-time. But LSU's got to have some urgency in finding their next head coach if indeed Wade is out in Baton Rouge. Bama raised the bar a little bit today. That's the final word of this hour. We are halfway home. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds. Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway on a hump day, Wednesday, March 27 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'm Ben Love. He's Clint Domang. And this man cheats when it comes to college basketball mascots. But we're both still hanging out, coexisting inside the 237 Roof Studios. It's presented by Lafayette Roofing. And briefly, I want to say this because it's very cool. Our good friend Brian Bourgeois listens to the program. He comes out, sees us on remotes, at the tap room, all kind of different places. Brian tweeted out yesterday, at 103.7 Ben and B2BS, thanks for the tip on Lafayette Roofing. Awesome job on my roof replacement. Brian, you're quite welcome. It's what they do. They've helped me out as well. So again, the number for those in need, and again, there's no job too big or too small, just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We've talked a good bit of basketball, and we'll entertain your calls, your thoughts on the subject. Is LSU the front runner at this point to get out of the East region? I would say probably not. But a lot of optimism, and I understand it. It's founded around these parts that the Tigers could get to Minneapolis. I'll tell you right now, if they do, I think they're tearing down nets. But this all came from a simple question. We asked it at the end of hour number one. Who's your favorite at this point to win the NCAA tournament? So you want to call in, we've got time for you. 706-0111. A little bit later in this hour, we're going to tell you about an upstart football league that's about to unplug, and mercifully, a shoe brand that's not really ever going to get too far off the ground floor. But while I've got some time, we try to be well-rounded. We know a lot of people are excited about this Astros baseball season. Heck, the 2019 MLB season at large. And so we're going to lead off hour number two, because trust me, tomorrow, Friday, we're going to be almost exclusively college basketball. It's the way you have to be once you get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and you got a local team that's still in it to win it. But while I've got some time, Clint, I've pulled numbers. I think you'll enjoy them. Odds makers, prognosticators, how they feel about the Houston Astros. And I think it reflects something that I said Sunday night as I recorded the weekly reboot podcast. I gave a prediction that it's going to be Cubs, Astros in the World Series. A lot of people would like that. Actually, the people that sponsor the weekly reboot podcast, Cigar Cove, would probably love that. Dupe over there, he's a Cubs fan. Other than that, a really good guy. But I think we could see Astros, Cubs. And I'll stay on the AL side a lot of these takes kind of bear that out. Some of it, in fact, was surprising for me, CD. 14 of the 31 talking heads on the mothership, 14 of 31 voters picked Houston to win the World Series. For comparison's sake, next in line, the Dodgers and the Yankees had 4 votes apiece, from 14 all the way down to 4. The Mickey Mouse voters also had 3 that pled their case for the Boston Red Sox, 3 for the Nationals. I don't get that one at all, personally. 2 for the A's, really, and 1 for the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey, I'm a Cards fan. I'd love that. Homer Radio. I don't think the Cardinals are going to win the World Series either. But what do you make out of that? Nearly half the people that voted said it's Houston's turn. More than 3 times the amount of votes that went to either New York or Boston.
I mean, it makes sense, especially when you consider, like, you haven't lost a whole heck of a lot of talent. It's not like you're losing, like, half of your guys, your star players, your Altuves of the world, your Bregmans of the world. Now you're not going to lose those guys for quite some time. It really just shows the staying power of what the Houston Astros have been able to do the last couple of seasons. And when you look at the Yankees, who are right behind them, they're very hit or miss. And I think a big reason why is the Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge experiment hasn't necessarily gone according to plan. And then with the Dodgers,
they're hitting bombs.
But they're not.
They may not be great fielders, and they're not very great OBP guys. But I guess the question would be, what were they hired to do?
I think they were hired to hit home runs, but at the same time, you need to have guys. I think they wouldn't mind having these guys hit with more consistency as opposed to knocking it out of the park. I think they would love that a lot more because guess what? It didn't result in a whole lot of wins for them last season. And also with the Dodgers, you have Clayton Kershaw not necessarily 100% ready to go for opening day, and that could wind up looming large as the season progresses.
I don't see it for the Dodgers. I don't see it for the Yankees, and I don't see it for the Nats.
Definitely not for the Nats. That one in the A's.
The A's really? 2 people, 2 human beings with active brain cells.
They must be from the Bay Area.
Are all in on the A's winning the World Series this year.
That is weird.
I know they've got a dynamite bullpen. They've got some great up-and-coming talent. Chris Davis, another bomb dropper. But the A's to win it all. And you know what? That leads me to the next little factoid I've got for you here. Now, this one's not prognostication, brother. This is per the Westgate Las Vegas Sportsbook.
All right.
The Astros are the biggest favorite to win their division. That probably won't shock you.
No.
But the number is interesting. Minus 800 to win the AL West. The predicted order of finish, for whatever it's worth, Houston, Oakland, the Angels, the Mariners. So Seattle not getting a lot of love after they were a pretty good team last year. But then how about this? Astros fans, you can absolutely rub some salt into the wounds here of your cross-state division rivals. After you get past the first 4 and Seattle is 4th in line, the caboose, the Texas Rangers. And there's a huge betting gap between 4th and 5th. So not a lot of faith in the betting community on those Texas Rangers.
Exactly. And to quote Frank, it's too easy to kind of throw some salt in the wound of my Texas Ranger fans. And I'm sure the Rangers fans will gladly take it because that's about all they're going to get this year.
Another thing that I found interesting, and we will take some calls as we lead off as a Major League Baseball, 706-0111. Don't forget, we'll have Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, Astros beat reporter at 545. Those same mothership voters, this was even more surprising than the amount of people who picked Houston to win the World Series, Clint. Take this in. 10 of the 31 voters have Gerrit Cole winning the AL Cy Young. Double the amount of people who voted for Trevor Bauer, Justin Verlander, who was tied for second, Chris Sale, and Blake Snell, who won the award last year. So if the people who write all the columns that you like to read at themothership.com are to believe the Astros are winning the World Series and Gerrit Cole, baby, is going to be your AL Cy Young Award winner. And for whatever it's worth, Bregman was 3rd in line of prognosticators for AL MVP. Let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Ellis, we're talking a little Major League Baseball. What you got?
What I have is a 2-hole hitter that should be hitting 4th or 5th. And last year, one of the networks I was watching, they had a Yankee, former Yankee on there wondering why Judge was batting 2nd. Where he had maybe 40 home runs I forgot exactly how much it was. But I think it's Martinez from Boston. Had,
yeah, J.D. Martinez.
Quite a few less, yeah, quite a few less than the judge. And he had double the RBI that Judge had.
Not as many ducks on the pond in New York. And I know that's your point, Ellis. I completely agree with you. But when you can trot out Benintendi and Mookie Betts, a former AL MVP, the top of the Red Sox lineup is a little more versatile than maybe an aging Brett Gardner, for example, and some of what the Yankees have ahead of Judge them. But maybe they're not casting them in the right role, to your point.
I can't see why they're when that was first done 2 years ago. I just couldn't see that.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees pitching is terrible. I mean, we're missing.
And your best, Severino's injured. Hey, I got to head toward a break. I apologize. We got to cut a little bit short, Ellis. Yeah, Severino injured. You're going to rely on an ancient at this point. Oh man! And now I'm going to blank here. Toward the very end of this segment, CC Sabathia. There we go. An ancient CC Sabathia. Tanaka. Not a great pitching staff, to say the least, but probably the best bullpen in all of baseball. And what they've been able to stack up that's going to lead into Aroldis Chapman is almost unfair in its filth. So their starters won't have to go quite as long. If they could stay healthy, they got the last three or four innings covered. No doubt about it. All right, as we hit this first break, kind of whet the appetite, didn't we? Talking a little Astros baseball. Brian McTaggart coming aboard about 30 minutes from right now, and we got our first Astros baseball game tomorrow. They're taking on the Rays. You're going to be able to hear it on our sister station, The Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. Astros at the Rays, a matchup of former Cy Young Award winners. It'll be Verlander against Snell. First pitch is 3 o'clock on The Rewind. 2:30 is Astro Launch. That's the best name ever for a pregame show. All right, we're coming right back. We will take your phone calls. You're listening to Bumper Sports, basketball, baseball, football. We do them all on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
We must have left out a major sport. And yeah, the pun is intended. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. I told you, we just left our opener for the 5 o'clock hour. I said football, basketball, baseball, we cover them all. And somewhere in there, golf is like, what the hell? You know we're coming up on the Masters. Yeah, Masters Week starts April the 11th. And wouldn't you know it, you could take the 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge. Told you, there was a major pun in there. Take the challenge. It's your chance to win a $100 gift card from golfballs.com. It's really easy. Just go to 1037thegame.com. Pick the golfer you think will win the 2019 Masters. If the winning golfer is selected by more than one entrant, we're going to put all the correct entries in a raffle, and we'll select a winner that way. But really easy. Win a $100 gift card. You could use it at golfballs.com. Go stop into their store or an Arnold with that gift card. Use it there. And the only way you're going to win is to enter at 1037thegame.com. It's our 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge. All right, Clint. We haven't barked up the tree of football yet. A little basketball heavy, understandably. Randy Livingston, Brian Snow have both been on the program. They were dynamite. We've gotten to baseball as well. I led off the show. LSU loses 2-0 at home to McNeese, and they have a 16-minute players-only meeting in right field following that game. UL, how about a game-winning homer in the ninth by a freshman, Colton Frank. It was his first collegiate hit, and UL beats Tulane at the Teague 7-6. We just went down the road of professional baseball. Let's get to football for a moment. LSU officially released its key home game dates and then kind of some of the panache if you will, that's going to go along with these games for 2019. And I will tell you, for me, it is snore before roar. I don't know any other way to put that. I know that many of you don't love the idea of playing Georgia Southern Labor Day weekend, but that's who LSU's got. The season opener, Saturday, August the 31st, before the calendar even flips over to September, you're going to play a team that does some option-related things, and it's going to take up the focus of your last few weeks of August when really and truly you ain't seeing it again for the rest of your SEC slate. But it leads off with Georgia Southern. 2 weeks later, after a trip to Austin, Northwestern State, the Purple game in Tiger Stadium. A couple of weeks after that, LSU's got Utah State, the alumni band game, for those of you that care. And this is a season where LSU actually gets not one but two off dates. So they'll have one leading into the Utah State game. But then after that, after the first three that are very yawn-worthy, and they are, it's going to be a lot of fun starting October the 12th. The last four home games. You got seven next year. Don't forget the game in Austin typically might be one that LSU would either have at home or in a kickoff classic style game. So only seven at home. If you can survive Georgia Southern, Northwestern State, and Utah State, you will get Florida, Auburn, Arkansas, Texas A&M. Now, none of that will be a surprise to you. You understand the every other year concept as well as I do. But the bait I'm refusing to take, and yeah, it's easy, low-hanging fruit. Florida will be LSU's homecoming game on October the 12th. And yes, we all remember Hurricane Matthew. It absolutely swallowed this program. It swallowed basically all of Louisiana and Southeastern sports talk for a couple of weeks there, back in the gap, you'll recall. I remember doing an entire show from the tap room where that's the only calls we took. That's all we really discussed. And it's yet another reason that people probably aren't all that fond of Joe Oliva. A nice parting gift from Jeremy Foley. A little poo-poo platter that he served up and then left Gainesville. LSU playing Florida. Not when they wanted. And then two straight years at the Swamp. And so the final leg of everything that kind of was instigated, if you will, by Foley, was last year's game in Gainesville. It was not one that went the way LSU wanted. It caused a lot of doubt moving forward in the season, but by and large, they were able to answer a lot of those questions. Now that LSU has some control back in its corner, which is to say a home game, they've made Florida homecoming. I'm just not going to read all that much into it. They're not going to wait until November, right? And so you're not getting November 23rd, Arkansas, as a homecoming game. You're not getting November 30th, Texas A&M, as homecoming. They're just not going to do that. And so it almost logically has to be one of the little sisters of the poor, August 31 through October the 5th, or you choose Florida or Auburn. And I just never really believed that Auburn was going to be the homecoming game right before the bye week that leads into Bama. But at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is just semantics, right? I'm sure there's rancor, bad blood, all of the above that LSU and the administration has for Florida. I get it, but this would be a pretty weak way to try and puff your chest out. Now, I know the reciprocal that LSU has been Florida's homecoming game, but I'm going to urge you to not get too bent out of shape about that one. But what is really interesting to me is this is a worthy home slate of SEC games. And I almost had forgotten before they trotted out this schedule today, a reminder really, and they do it to let you know what's homecoming, what's the purple, the gold game, and yada, yada, yada. But I almost forgot that this was a two bye week season. So really an opportunity to maybe breathe a little bit more as opposed to the annual, just get to the finish line before Bama. Get way too emotionally charged for 2 weeks for that game and then fall flat emotionally about a quarter or a quarter and a half in. Maybe that makes this year just a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't, but it can't hurt to find out by trying a little different method. So I did want to give you that information. LSU, Florida, homecoming. All right, we got some time for your phone calls. Don't forget Brian McTaggart coming aboard just about 20 minutes from right now, the end of this segment. If you can catch us before, after we throw a little shade in the next segment, we'll take your call. 706-0111. CD, the leader in the clubhouse, our sink or swim question of the day. We've asked the people, who is their favorite at this point to win the big dance? If it's not the local team LSU, it looks like probably more UNC than anything else. But we have seen a little bit of Gonzaga. We've seen a little bit of Duke. And I've even got our guy Zach Sprayberry on Twitter. Zach, hopefully you're not working. Otherwise, your boss knows now. The secret's out. Zach says Florida State. As you mentioned the other day, Florida State probably as hot as anybody.
Oh, exactly. I think that's the biggest reason why he's probably going that route is because Florida State is undoubtedly the hottest team heading into the tournament. And again, this is I think this was dating back to January 22nd, 25th, somewhere around that range, was like the since this like streak had started to where they've only lost like two games since then. And that's pretty damn impressive.
You know, it's funny, while we're talking about sink or swim questions of the day, I can actually update yesterday's. Maybe we should make this a thing. After 24 full hours, maybe we should give the
final results.
Oh, man. You know, you jumped right in there, and you missed me making a spectacular Europe the band joke.
Damn it.
The final countdown.
There we go.
Yeah, so the final countdown, if you will. Yesterday's sink or swim question, is Tony Romo worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster? This was tight. 53% sink, they say no. 47% yes, they say he's worth $10 million or more. I don't see the other side of this that much. I get the Cowboys hate. Believe me, I understand that. Are there that many people that don't think he's the best doing it? Because he is. And the other guy that I love, I know a lot of people don't as well. So I guess I could be the weird one.
Yeah.
It's always possible, right? But I love Collinsworth, man. I think he does a dynamite job. So for me, Chris Collinsworth would be two. Tony Romo would be one.
Yeah.
If you're the best at what you do and you're making that much money, the old people network at CBS could pay the man.
So you're saying Chris Collinsworth. You're saying you're down with the little slide in when they pan towards him? Like when they're filming it up in the booth?
I don't know that I understand what you're talking about. Like I'm not trying to be coy. I really don't know that I understand.
All right, so during Sunday Night Football, whatever, they're just focusing on Al Michaels. All of a sudden, they just zoom out a little bit, and you see Chris Collinsworth just slide in. Just go on YouTube during
all right,
break.
Okay.
You'll be amazed.
You've given me some fodder here. I'll follow up on that. I'll see if I enjoy it.
Yeah.
That might be more of a cameraman issue than a Chris Collinsworth thing.
No, it's great.
Is he steering into the skit, you're telling me? Is he in on the
joke? Oh, yes. He's definitely all in on this one, man. Okay. He's like, 1 week, everybody was expecting him to come in from the right, came in from the left. And everybody's like, oh, my God.
This is my daily warning to you. Spend less time on Twitter. Go outside and smell the roses.
I agree.
Just do something. You don't have to do what I do, right? Not everybody's man enough to go to ladies' night with their wife, as we established in hour number one. But just get the hell out of the 237 Roof Studios and sniff the roses occasionally. We're coming right back in. We're throwing shade. But I think we've already begun that. Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll return on 103.7 The Game.
Say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Coming down the home stretch. A little less than half an hour to go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. And we're really nearing our interview with Brian McTaggart. Excited about that. Our guy was in West Palm Beach, Florida, covering spring training. Spent the better part of a month down there with A.J. Hinch and the Strohs. Went back to Houston, and we're going to try and catch him before he turns back around. Goes back to Florida for the season opener tomorrow at the Trop as the Astros are at the Rays. That's coming your way in just about 10 minutes. Before we can get there, we got to stay here and issue your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home, and you can trust them to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to put up the shades and awnings while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous, customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center are ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start? A quick trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
A twofer today with a common theme. It's the opposite of a salute. A couple of sports deaths. At least that's the way that we see it. I'll set them up. Clint will knock them down. Number one, everybody was excited about this. Our good friend Alan Michael, before he left, went back to school up in the Iron City. Loved him, and I'm sure he still does love him, some Alliance of American Football League. I have not even bothered to memorize what that acronym stands for. I literally had to just ask Clint in the break. I never cared. But the AAF, well, it's about to be DOA. Give us the latest.
Yeah, the latest is majority owner Tom Dundon, who also owns the Carolina Hurricanes, for those who are interested, called out the NFL Players Association for not pushing more young talent over to the AAF for development, saying that if the players' union is not going to give us players, we can't be a developmental league. And Dundon invested $250 million into the league back in February, saying that they're looking at the options, one of which is just discontinuing the league altogether. The NFL doesn't have any financial stake at the moment, though it agreed to broadcast but have the league's games on the NFL Network.
So here's the operative question. That's a really good rundown of where we're at and the perilous state that the AAF is in. They're getting upset with the NFL for not helping to finance a feeder system that they didn't ask for.
Yeah.
Am I reading that situation about right?
No, that's the long and the short of it right there.
The shade goes at anybody dumb enough to put their money and their ducks in a row behind such a league. Come on now. To look up at daddy and say, I thought that you were going to feed us, right? Just a baby chick, mouth open. Feed us. Why would they? They didn't ask for you. That absolutely blows my mind.
Yeah.
Incredible. Now, there's a take two. Very different subject matter, but still a bit of a sports death nonetheless. More of a sports branding and marketing death. And we'll all be able to give a hallelujah to this one. Clint, please tell me this is true. It's the opposite of saying ain't so, Joe. Clint, please tell me this is true. Is Big Baller Brand already dead?
Oh, it's about to be dead as disco, my friend, because it is just amazing how much has changed. Lonzo Ball broke away from his manager, I believe, on Friday, but more and more is coming out about all the behind-the-scenes stuff with his manager. And just recently, in fact, he wound up doing some tattoo cover-up work for his covering up the Big Baller Brand logo with a pair of dice that honestly I think he needs to get his money back because they are absolutely trash.
But you know what? Credit to the guy. Yeah. He didn't go and get the Big Baller Brand ink laser removed. He tatted over it.
Yes.
It's like people that are replacing a static billboard. We're not taking it down. We're just putting the new billboard up. So congrats on that, Lonzo. The AAF, its time on Earth is probably coming to an end. Big Baller Brand, mercifully, put out of its misery, Old Yeller style.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
The arrogance of the people involved with the AAF. NFL, where's our money? They agreed to broadcast your games. They agreed to nothing else. They actually have a feeder system. You might have heard of it. It's called college football. And it works out pretty well. In fact, I would say it's the second best feeder system we have in professional sports in this country, Major League Baseball naturally being the first. Whether they take their kids out of high school, after 3 years in college, from overseas, from down south, Central, South America, Mexico, wherever they get them from, they have to go through a pretty nice screening process to get to the show. Basketball's got the worst farm system. But college football serves as a pretty nice buffer, I would think, to get toward the NFL. So they didn't ask for you. They don't need you. Now you're surprised when they're not going to help keep you off life support. Funny business concept. All right, nothing funny about it. When we return, the best in the business covering the Houston Astros. Excited to bring back our guy, Brian McTaggart as we get ready for Major League Baseball opening day mañana. That's Spanish for tomorrow. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and no matter what language it's in,
let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station,
and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in one final time, and we are ready to play ball on the 2019 season. I'm not talking about playing in Japan. I'm talking about here in the States, and we're about to talk Houston Astros baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and we're going to catch up with a man now who's been in Florida, got to go back home briefly to Houston, now back out to Florida. Aboard the Hardco Equipment Hotline, our good friend Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, from West Palm to H-Town and then right back out to Tampa. How's that travel going for you?
Those flights are pretty short, but it's kind of weird that you're in Florida for so long, and then you start the season back in Florida. And I think actually some of the Astros players hung around and just traveled from West Palm to Tampa. So for them, that's not too bad.
What was the vibe from you leaving West Palm? And I mean that because I know that they're getting ready for the season, but it felt like there was a lot of business that got done in the last week in this descent toward the season, right? Bregman's deal, the extension, Justin Verlander. Was that par for the course, and did it in any way overshadow some of the things that Hinch and company were doing on the diamond?
No, I mean, I think they had a really good camp on the field. Number one was to remain healthy, which they did right up until the end. You know, Carlos Correa has come down with some sort of neck problem, which we don't believe is going to be serious. You know, whether he plays on Thursday remains to be seen. But, they answered all the questions they had to answer. You know, it was a camp where there weren't many jobs open. You could pretty much pencil in the 24 or 25 guys who were going to be on the roster opening day. So everything went smoothly on that end. And, yeah, they handed out three extensions at the end of camp. You know, Ryan Presley got one as well. And, you know, it was a little surprising, just not that they extended either of those guys, but they extended all of them. I mean, that was a pretty big financial commitment the Astros made. Verlander, you know, was a guy who was a free agent at the end of the year. So now you got him for two more seasons after this one, and that's huge considering they still got their core players on offense coming back, you know, for the next 2 years. Now they're going to have Verlander with them. Bregman, he was under team control for a long time, but, you know, look at some of these contracts that have been handed out to some of these free agents, the Manny Machados and Bryce Harpers. Bregman had 4 years until he got to that point, but now they buy out his arbitration. They buy out his first 2 years of free agency. And so that has a chance to be a very good deal for the Astros. And Bregman gets some security as well. And, you know, Ryan Presley, a free agent at the end of the year, I mean, he's quietly become one of the most dominant relievers in the American League. And now they have him for the next couple of years.
Yeah, you mentioned Justin Verlander. He'll take the bump tomorrow. It'll be JV against Blake Snell in Tampa. So ace is for sure on the mound. But I'm glad you paid some attention there to Ryan Presley. When you combine him going into the ninth inning with Roberto Acuña, how much different is the back end of that bullpen this year as compared to this time a year ago?
I think this is the most stable back end of the bullpen they've had back since, you know, more than a decade, maybe back to the mid-2000s teams, 04, 05, when you had Brad Lidge, Dotel, Dan Wheeler, and those guys. I mean, Osuna is a former All-Star closer. You know, he's already got 100 saves under his belt. He's only 24 years old. I mean, he's a guy that can be absolutely dominant in the closing role. And Ryan Presley came on last year, was pretty much untouchable after he came over in a trade with the Astros. And he was also untouchable in the spring. The Astros have tapped into his spin rate and just made him a swing and miss machine. So you have those two guys at the back end. I think it's going to shorten games. They're going to lock down games. We haven't even touched on, you know, Will Harris, Chris Davinsky, Hector Rondon, major league caliber veteran relievers who have strong track records that are back as well. So this is a very deep, a very dangerous bullpen, and it begins with Presley and Osuna.
Another few moments with Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, Astros beat writer. You need to make sure to catch his work there. All right, so we've talked about Correa and the injury. Hopefully it's short-term. What is the backup plan while the shortstop is out?
Well, I think if Correa does not play on Thursday or maybe even Friday, you know, I think we'll see Alex Bregman as shortstop, which, of course, you know, everyone in Louisiana knows he played quite well for LSU Tigers for a few years. So, and they can move Tyler White to third. You know, I don't think it's going to be a situation where they DL Brea, you know, they bring up somebody, maybe a Nick Panel. I don't think we're going to see that. I think it's a day-to-day thing, but they have enough versatility on this roster. They can move a lot of different guys around. You know, Ledmus Diaz, sort of the Marwin Gonzalez replacement that they signed, he can play over on that side of the diamond as well. So they have a lot of options, but there's no doubt that the best Astros team is Carlos Correa in the lineup, a healthy Carlos Correa in the lineup, and he's hitting fourth or fifth, which I think he would have hit fourth on opening day. And I know it's got to be frustrating for A.J. Hinch if he can't write his name in the lineup on opening day, but they do have enough depth and versatility, I think, where they can cover it for a couple of days anyway.
Brian, on this program in the past, you've talked about the addition of Michael Brantley. I guess your reflection going into this season about the impact, the difference he makes on this lineup, and I know he's been tagged as a guy who sometimes can't avoid the injury bug. What are their plans maybe to help regulate his usage and get him through to the postseason?
Yeah, definitely a player who's had injury problems in his career. You know, I think we could see him DH a little bit more. You know, the fact the Astros did not go out and sign a true DH, did not get like a Nelson Cruz, the DH is sort of be a position where they can rotate guys in and out. I think Brantley's going to be a guy who gets a lot of at-bats at DH just to save that body a little bit. And they do have a guy like Jake Marisnik, who's a superb defensive player that, if he can come around a little bit, you're comfortable giving him a couple starts a week. You know, Tony Camp has proven he can put the bat on the ball and play a pretty good outfield as well. You know, they're carrying an extra outfielder this year instead of the extra pitcher. So that will allow them to DH Brantley a little bit. But I think it was a very, I don't want to say under the radar signing, but, I think people around baseball sort of forgot that Michael Brantley's on the Astros. And you put him in the middle of the lineup with Altuve, Correa, Springer, Bregman. Put him at the top of the lineup with those four right-handed bats. Now you have a left-handed bat who doesn't strike out, puts the ball in play. The top five in that lineup are as deep and as dangerous as anybody in baseball. And if he can stay healthy, along with the other guys, they've all had injury problems now at this point in their career. So if they can all stay healthy, it's going to be tough for starting pitchers to navigate that lineup more than a couple of times.
Astros tomorrow, beginning the 2019 season at Tampa. And, Brian, I'll get you to run down the pitching matchups maybe on both sides of the aisle. We know it's going to be Verlander versus Blake Snell, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, tomorrow. After that, who all is Houston going to bring to Tampa, plan to start? And as far as Tampa goes, we know they like their openers. Could we expect some of that this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Verlander and Blake Snell, a big matchup in game one on Thursday, the top two guys in the AL, Cy Young last year. I'm more anxious about Friday's matchup. You have Gerrit Cole going against Charlie Morton, of course, the former Astros. Charlie spent the previous couple of years with the Astros, was on the mound when they won the World Series, so I'm really excited about that matchup. You get into Friday, you're looking at Colin McHugh, who has been reinserted back into the rotation against Tyler Glasnow, so another good pitching matchup in the third game. And, yeah, it looks like fourth game of the year on Sunday, the series finale, that we're going to see the opener from the Rays. Don't know who that's going to be yet, whether it's Stanek or somebody else. But we'll also see Wade Miley make his Astros debut after he had that great half a season and into the playoffs last year with the Milwaukee Brewers. So some really enticing pitching matchups. And then, of course, the opener for the Rays in the fourth game. And the Astros have Wade Miley, who works really fast and has sort of reinvented himself later in his career. So it should be a lot of fun.
We're looking forward to Astros baseball all season long. Hey, before we let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about, I guess, your thoughts on Friday night's game. Your Houston Cougars going up against the Kentucky Wildcats. Can they bring home a win and get to the Elite Eight?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. I mean, the thing that I've always liked about Houston, and I think it's one of the reasons they've gotten this far, is they have senior guards in Corey Davis Jr., Galen Robinson Jr., very, very quick, very tough to match up against with. They've played together for a long time. They have depth. Of course, they defend and rebound very well. You know, they're going to have to contend with Kentucky size a little bit, but, they do have some depth. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a very tough matchup for Houston, no doubt. They've looked very good the first couple of games. But, hopefully we get a quick game in Tampa Friday night and I can get out somewhere and watch it. But, yeah, it's exciting, and I just hope it's a close game and a well-played game and goes down to the end. But I definitely think Houston has a shot for sure.
Well said. And look, there's a lot of rumblings that perhaps Kelvin Sampson is the next head coach at Arkansas. So if you need to start that GoFundMe or Kickstarter, make sure you get that done.
Well, you know, Tillman Fertitta, the million-dollar buyer on TV, is the Board of Regents, UH Board of Regents chairman. So he's got more money than pretty much anybody in the U.S. So if they want to keep Kelvin, I think they're going to be able to match Arkansas. It's just going to be a matter of whether Kelvin wants to go back into a Power 5 league or if he's comfortable in Houston, because I think Houston's going to pay him whatever Arkansas does. So we'll see.
That's why we call you, man. We needed that intel. Brian, safe travels to Florida. We'll be following your work, MLB.com. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thanks for having me.
How about that? For one heck of a way to wind things down. Astros fans, we know you're excited, and there's a little bit of the raw meat we dangle out in front of you there. It's MLB opening day eve, and you just heard from Brian McTaggart. Completely just hit me like a 2x4 upside the forehead. Completely forgot that game two on Friday is going to be a couple of former teammates last year with the Astros, Gerrit Cole versus Charlie Morton. So glad we got the reset from Brian McTaggart. Hell, it's always good to visit with McTaggart. We just got the scoop on what's happening with Kelvin Sampson and the Muckety Mucks, those that have the Bucks over in H-Town. Yeah, I enjoyed myself a little. Hopefully you did too. Speaking of an enjoyable program, it only happens with great guests. Our thanks to Randy Livingston, a Louisiana prep basketball legend, and he's taken over where he started at Isidore Newman. He was with us in the 4 o'clock hour, as was B. Snow. This is his time of year. He owns it. Glad we had him aboard. And then you just heard from Brian McTaggart. If you miss portions or all of those interviews, trust me, you're going to want to run them back. Here's what you do. You go to 1037thegame.com, the free mobile app, either one, click or tap on demand. You'll catch the entire show and section out interviews. Listen when you want. All right, we got to get out of the way here. Time to move it along, but trust that we'll be back in tomorrow, live from the Tap Room River Ranch. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. You've been dialed in to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.